It has been such a long time coming, and the work and efforts of so many wonderful women, but more than that, it has been a day that the Lord has been orchestrating from the very beginning. It has been a total just work of God to put together this group of women and to bring this ministry to Fort Worth. And I just couldn't be more excited to welcome you and just more humbled and in awe of the way that God has worked so far. My name is Adrienne McLean. I am the Fort Worth Campus Director for The Nest. And we are so excited to be here with you today. For those of you who are members, those of you who are guests or friends, I want you to know that we have been praying for you since this was first an idea to bring The Nest to Fort Worth, praying for your hearts, praying for just the moms that will be here. And so we're so excited for this opportunity for community and fellowship and just our time together. The Nest is a ministry that focuses on biblical parenting to help you train up your children in the way of the Lord. The Nest is an acronym for nurture, encourage, strengthen, and train. We want to help equip you to do that for your children, the next generation of Christ followers. And we want to do that, nurture, encourage, strengthen, and train you as well. So it's my hope and also my prayer that you will find this to be a group not of perfect moms, but a group of imperfect moms who know their great need for Christ and who have surrendered in total dependence on him and who are running fast after him. And it's in that dependence that we're trying to follow the Lord and raise our children to know who he is as well. I want to start by just praying for us. So if you'll bow your head with me. Lord, you are so faithful. We are thankful just beyond measure that it has been your will for The Nest to come to our campus, and so grateful for the ways that you've led and guided us toward this day. Lord, thank you for each woman here. You know us. You know the needs that we have today, the hurts from our past, our fears for the future. Lord, help us to just be still and present in this moment. Thank you. Thank you for each woman who has entrusted her time and her heart to come around other women, be encouraged and strengthened by your truth. Lord, I just pray now for this ministry. Father, let us decrease so that you may increase. I pray that this ministry will be a blessing to these women, to their children, and to the generations that may come to know you and the grace and love that you have for us. We love you, Lord, and it's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Today, being a first, being September, this reminds me of back to school. I was a teacher for 10 years before I started staying at home full-time with my little girl. So part of today is going to be a little bit like a first day of school, just doing some announcements, some get-to-know-you stuff, some things about what to expect and who's sitting around you and that sort of thing. So I'm going to give you a little bit of history about The Nest, a little bit of its mission and vision. What to expect from week to week, and introduce people who are on our leadership team and also give you a chance to talk to the people that you're sitting around. So, first of all, I want to just thank our hospitality team and our frontlines team for an awesome breakfast back in the back, for a warm greeting. So thank them, all of the people who brought food today. Yum. Like, that's one of my favorite things to do is just get to kind of sit and enjoy some good food and hang out. Please make yourself comfortable. Feel free to get up as you need to. Go to the back to get more food. There's restrooms in this hallway over here and a couple over that way. But speaking of front lines and hospitality, if you're interested in serving in The Nest, please send an email to the address up on the screen, and we would be happy to get you on the list of people who are asked by our front lines and hospitality coordinators to sign up to serve each month. When you serve, when you volunteer, you get to register a little bit early, which gives you early access to our kids' ministry. And as many of you know, our kids' ministry is filled up very quickly. That's one of the areas that you can continue to pray, but God has been so faithful. I just heard this morning about 5 extra volunteers that came out to serve in kids' ministry, which is absolutely just an answer to our prayers, because that has been a great need from from very early on. To those of you who made other arrangements today for your kiddos so that you can make room for other moms who needed to access the childcare through kids ministry, thank you so much. I'm just so thankful for you being selfless in that way to try to welcome more people here. If you're interested in serving for the Nest, I'm talking right now to members of Watermark. If you're interested in serving Frontlines Hospitality and you would like that to count towards service for the purpose of fulfilling your membership requirements, we're going to ask you to serve 6 times out of the 7 events that we have in this 17-18 school year. And if you would like to do that, you got an email if you volunteered today from our hospitality coordinator, Kara. You can respond to that email, or you can email this here, and we will have you indicated for membership purposes as serving in that way. If you are not a member, or if you already serve in some other area that fulfills that membership requirement, you are welcome to serve on Frontlines or Hospitality at your convenience. You don't have to fulfill that 6 out of 7 requirement. If you have any questions about that, feel free to ask one of the Hospitality or Frontlines coordinators or myself afterwards. So, registration. We're really fortunate that all of our events are going to be on the second Friday of each month, so hopefully that'll be an easy way for you to remember what days we're going to have the Nest. There should be some little promotional cards that are on your tray that say committed to the harvest, and on the back of those cards have all of the Nest event dates. So we will meet second Friday of every month here in Fort Worth. November and February are going to look a little bit different. Instead of meeting here, we're going to have what we call a Nest play date day. We have not planned all the logistics for that, but you can hear a lot more about that at next month's meeting. But other than those 2 months, we'll be here the second Friday of each month. You can register to get an email that notifies you when registration is open if you go here to watermark.org/nest and then choose the click here button, and it takes you to the e-newsletter page. You're able to just select the Nest Fort Worth and you'll get that notification when it's open. Registration happens about 3 weeks prior to the event, so here in another week, it's going to be starting up again for October. So just so you know, if you register, you know, being here today does not register you for the entire school year. Each event is its own separate event, and you have to register each time. One of the reasons for that is that, you know, we're all moms. There's lots of things going on in our lives, and we want to be able to serve as many moms as possible at each event. So if people aren't going to be able to be here, we want to make that space available for other people. So be sure to be online to get those registration notices. Let's see, what else? Parking. I hope all of you were able to find where to park today. I know it's a little bit strange because it's different for those of us who are here on Sunday mornings for where we normally park with our kiddos, but hopefully you were able to get directed to the right place. For our Friday morning events, the property management company and the businesses around here have asked that we park in the main Ridgely parking area so that we don't take away spots from their business. So you can see there on the map where we're asking you guys to park, and then you can walk in the back door over here for stage one, walk through with your kiddos, and then walk down this sidewalk to take your children to the annex. So for future, and when you're talking to other people that may not be here today but are signed up, that's where we're going to be. So I think that's all of the like announcement-y things that I have to talk about. From here, I want to just kind of give you guys a little bit more information or just background knowledge about the mission and vision of the Nest, and a little bit more about how they came up with that acronym. But like I said before, the Nest is an acronym for Nurture, Encourage, Strengthen, and Train the Next Generation of Christ Followers. And one of the ways that we want to nurture you is just by giving you a couple of hours of respite to just hang out and visit with other moms, have a little bit of adult conversation and some yummy food. I think that's one of the things that I always look forward to most. So the E is for encourage. In Hebrews, the Bible tells us to not forsake gathering together and to encourage one another. And so this is a time for you to meet up with old friends, to make new friends, and to find people that you can be encouraged by. I know that before I started pursuing the Nest, coming to Fort Worth, things like that, I really only knew the people in my community group. I didn't know a whole lot of other people. I know there's a lot of moms with young kids here just from dropping off kids Sunday mornings at Starting Blocks. So it's my hope that this ministry can bring together lots of moms that are already a part of my body or part of our body here at Watermark Fort Worth. And also that this will be a place that you can invite your friends to come, hear truth, be encouraged, and just meet some other moms that are in the same life stage. Like I said before, I hope that you will find that this is not a group of women who are perfect moms just trying to compare notes on how to be more perfect. It's not about that at all. It's about a group of women who have realized that they are imperfect, have a great need for Christ, and have surrendered to living by works. I mean, I think as a mom, it can be really easy to get caught up in all the things you have to do, because there's a lot of stuff to do between meals and cleanup and laundry and all the things on Pinterest that you could ever possibly think about doing for your kids. There's nothing wrong with those things in and of themselves, but understanding that those are not the things that save us, and that it's only through grace by our faith that we are saved. And I want to just be able to encourage each other in that. We want to strengthen each other with the Word of God. We know that the Bible tells us that all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching and equipping, and help you to just hide God's Word in your heart. And finally, to train you in truth. The Nest, just like Watermark, is going to be flexible where the Bible is flexible and firm where the Bible is firm. The topics that we teach about from this stage are going to be based on biblical principles, and then you can apply those to things that you're dealing with in your regular life. Topics that we have up here are not going to be things like public school versus private school versus homeschool, because the Bible's not specific about those things. Certainly, you can learn from the people around you about their experiences and what might have worked for them. But the topics that we choose to address up here from the stage are going to be those biblical principles. You're going to hear about things like your heart and your spiritual relationship with the Lord, marriage, how to love your husband well, children, how to raise your children, and your home. I want to thank the leadership team in Dallas. They have really gone before us in a big way in making us be able to launch this ministry in the way that we are for our very first event. They have been just incredibly supportive, helpful in the time that they've spent with me, with the rest of our leadership team, on just helping us start off on such a strong foot. All of our curriculum for this year was developed by the leadership team in Dallas as far as determining our topics, scriptures that align with those topics. And they started from very humble grassroots kind of beginning. It's funny when they tell the story, they're like, I think it was about 10 years ago. How old is your kid? How old is that kid? They had, really just a mom or two who were, new moms, had very young children. They were feeling discouraged, isolated, not really sure what to do. And so they asked, a mom who had some older kids, if they could just hang out with her and talk with her. So for those of you who have ever been to the Dallas campus or maybe attended there at one point, there's a place in one of the towers called the mat room. Think of kind of like the little gym minus all of the like programs and staff. It's just a bunch of mats in a room. That's where they kind of hung out. They sat on the floor. They let their kids run around, and they just had conversations. They just talked. And as a few more moms started coming, a few more moms, and their kids started getting a little older, a little more rambunctious, they asked the church to come alongside of them and provide some kids ministry. They were able to do that. They started planning out their speakers a little bit more. And so it really just evolved from a very, very kind of grassroots moms seeking out wisdom from other moms older than them. And so really the heart and the principle of it is from Titus 2, where the Bible tells us that younger women should seek the advice of older women, and that they should be taught from them. So at the Nest, we're going to have women who have kids a little bit older than us, who have been through this stage teaching us. And there are some women who have agreed to do that in an official capacity, and their role here in the Nest is called mentor moms. So they are here to nurture, encourage, strengthen, and train you. Our target audience here is moms of young kids, infants, preschooler, toddler, young elementary, but certainly moms of kids of any age can benefit from the teaching of these women. They are wise, wise women who love the Lord and have just been really gracious to come alongside of us. So I'm going to introduce a few of them. One of them is serving in Training Grounds today. One is going to be speaking to you in a moment, and two of them are out of town, and they were really sad that they can't be here, but I'm sure that many of you who are here regularly might recognize some of their names, but Pam Adams, Mildred Creighton, Trisha Gossett, and Krista Sanders are going to be our mentor moms. So they will be here walking around. They are not assigned to a specific table. They are here for any of you to access as a resource. If there's something going on that y'all discuss at your table, one of your table leaders may say, why don't we seek out a mentor mom to talk to about that? They'll be around. They'll be willing to hold babies if babies will let them be held so that you can enjoy this time. They're here to be a support and a resource to you. They're also a support and a resource to the leadership team to help guide us as we make decisions about this ministry. The next group of women is one that have just become really near and dear to my heart. This is the leadership team that I was able to start recruiting probably in February-ish of last year. Over the last 5 or 6 months that I've gotten to know them, they are all so uniquely gifted, talented, and have such a great heart for the Lord, and I'm so thankful for each of them. I'm going to go ahead and introduce those women to you quickly. If y'all will just kind of wave, look around, I'll go through this. Joy Blocker is our speaker and mentor mom coordinator. She's right here in the middle. So she had awesome relationships and was able to find these wise women who are willing to come around us. Super thankful for that. And many of them will be speaking to you and others as well. Beth Cox is our table leader coordinator. She's done an excellent job just recruiting table leaders and leading them so well. Kelly Furman, she's our front lines coordinator. If y'all don't know Kelly, there is no better encourager than her. She doesn't stop with the way that she just is so thoughtful and finds things to just encourage all of the people around her. Becca Lowe is our equipping coordinator, and she has also been gracious enough to run our AV back in the back. If any of you would like to do AV, she would love to have a few people on her team. But Becca, as the equipping coordinator, keeps us grounded in biblical principles and brings a devotion to our leadership team and is helpful in just keeping us pointed towards God's word so that we're not just busy running an event. That this is something different, that we're all looking to be true followers of Christ as we work out this ministry. And Kara McKibben, my friend back there in the back by the coffee, she's our hospitality coordinator, and she is the hostess with the mostest, bringing you all of this food. Look at her sweet boy, Lyle, there in his Ranger hat. He loves all of his Ranger treats. He eats all the cotton candy at the Ranger games, right? And I have to introduce you to our Watermark staff, just outstanding, Angela Artis. I don't know if she's in the room or if she's just outside there, who is the Starting Blocks director here and who has taken on the role of being our staff contact for the Nest. Y'all, she has taken on a lot of extra responsibilities for her job in order for us to be able to do this. I mean, this is a lay-led ministry, but she has gone out of her way to give us her time, her wisdom, and her encouragement. She is just excellent, and she's just become really dear to me. And Brittany Bush is a family ministries assistant, and she has helped us out tremendously with just things from handouts to a registration, lots of the little behind the scenes details that we're just super thankful for, that they're helping take care of. Finally, you have awesome table leaders that you're sitting around. Just to give you a little bit of background on the heart behind the way we've organized the tables, we wanted to sit you with people who live maybe somewhat close to you, because we would love for you to be able to form some organic friendships, relationships, and with the Fort Worth campus coming from such, I think, a wide radius of places, we want you to be able to meet some people that live kind of near you. So the way that it kind of just worked out with the registration, we've grouped together these areas. Your table leaders are in some situations in that same area, some not necessarily, because we had to move them over. These tables are generally who we hope that you'll see again, but like I said before, you have to re-register for every event. So some of you may not be here next month. We may see some different people next month. So this isn't necessarily the table you're going to be with for this entire school year, but hopefully you'll be able to be with some of these same people again that you'll be able to recognize. And beyond just being able to do stuff with them outside of the nest, that you will feel comfortable sharing with them during our discussion time. So right now, I'm going to give you guys an opportunity to talk to the people around you. We're only going to have about 10 or 15 minutes to do this, but if you will, go around the table, introduce yourself, tell a little bit about your kids, your family, and if everybody gets a chance to do that, then you can move on to the second and third questions. So we'll be back up in just about 10 or 15 minutes, okay? All right, you guys, I hope that you all had a chance to share a little bit with your table, tell them your name, a little bit about your kiddos, maybe something fun about your summer. Isn't it fun getting to talk to other moms? I love it. I could just chat all day. That's what I hope you guys get to do. So I want to take this chance to tell y'all the answers to kind of these same questions that I just had you ask, tell you a little bit about my family, a little bit about our summer, and then a little bit more about what made me want to pursue bringing the nest to Fort Worth. So this is my family. My husband Jordan is there with our dog Barkley. Our daughter Carly is in the middle. She just turned 4 last week. There's me, of course. And then our daughter Abigail is 16 months old. So we live in Arlington, kind of southwest corner of Arlington on Lake Arlington. And one of the highlights of our summer, other than Jordan and I getting to get out of town for our anniversary, was when this picture was taken. I don't know about y'all, but we have very few pictures of our entire family together. And so I found this one, and it was kind of fitting because this picture was taken at our cat's birthday party that my daughter planned this summer. She is very interested in birthdays right now. She asked me just about every day, whose birthday is it today, Mom? And it's kind of surprised when I say, like, wait, we don't know anybody whose birthday is today, but very excited when we have somebody's birthday. And somewhere along in this conversation, we started talking about our animals. We have Barkley and then also this crazy little cat. And Jordan and I both had these animals before we were married, and their birthdays are an estimate at best. But we think, as we were talking about it, that both of them were maybe like about 10 years old this summer. And so Carly decided that we needed to have a birthday party for them. And she was very adamant about this and started talking to people about it and telling our friends and our family and even the clerk at Hobby Lobby that we were having a birthday party for our cat. And so at a certain point, I was just like, okay, I think we kind of have to do this. So I just asked my sister if her family would like hang out after swim lessons one day. We didn't actually invite people other than like my own family. But we did have some balloons, and we made a cookie cake, and we had a cat birthday party. So that's Carly. She's very determined and energetic, likes to get up early. She's a go-getter. And then there's our sweet, sweet little Abigail. This picture, the one of the girls, is super special to me. It was taken this year on Easter Sunday, and we were at home. We were not at church this Easter, and we were super thankful to be there. The reason we were so thankful to be at home this Easter Sunday is because 2 days before Good Friday, Abigail was released from the hospital after having spent 8 days there at Cook's. Abigail has cystic fibrosis, which is a genetic disease that affects your lungs and also can affect your digestive system, but basically just contributes to a decline in lung function over time. So Abigail was diagnosed with that when she was about a month old. And I will tell you that from the very beginning, even before we had her diagnosis confirmed, when it was just still in the let's do some extra testing stage, the Lord was very clear in giving us that Abigail was fearfully and wonderfully made, and that we didn't have to worry about her because he didn't make a mistake when he made her. I didn't think I was going to be emotional about it. You know, it's my girl. And he also told us not to be anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition with thanksgiving to present our requests to him. And that's what we did. Shortly after her diagnosis, we had a good friend who saw that there was a bicycle ride that benefited the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. And those of you who know my husband, who was so gracious to sit back here, if you're wondering why there's one fellow in the room, he's here to support me. He is a cycling enthusiast. And so we were able to sign up to participate in that ride. And because of the fundraising component of that ride and trying to get people to donate to the foundation, we were really able to have an opportunity to share a lot about Abigail, how we were processing through her diagnosis, and how the Lord was sustaining us during that time, which was really a cool opportunity. Our team name for our cycle ride is Fearfully and Wonderfully, and our second event is actually tomorrow. So we have just had a really busy time, lots going on. But fast forward a little bit to last fall, after our very first CF ride, my best friend and I were kind of talking about trying to find a mom's group to be a part of. We have only lived in Arlington since right before Abigail was born. So I was a part of a mom's group in Dallas, not the Nest. Had a really positive experience with that. And now that I was over on this side of town, we wanted to try to find something that we could go to together. And in the course of that conversation, my friend ended up bringing up that she had heard of the Nest from one of her coworkers, and I was like, yeah, I mean, that's my church. I haven't even been to that event at that point. And so we talked about it a little bit more, and also during that conversation, she shared with me that, you know, she never really thought that religion was necessarily for her, but the way that we had responded to Abigail's diagnosis made her think differently. And that had just a profound impact on me. And just thinking about how, as Christians, we should look differently. Our response to our circumstances should be different, and they should be with hope and with a peace that surpasses our understanding. Even though I get emotional about this when I'm talking about it and about my little Abigail, I do have a peace about her. I do have a peace that God has a plan for her life. And that he made her exactly the way he designed for his glory. And so out of that conversation, the Lord really just started leading me to stop pursuing finding some place to go and start looking to see if we could start this group, the Nest, here through my home church, Watermark Fort Worth. One of the things that I feel like I've learned about Abigail through Abigail is that while it's really obvious that she has a physical need for healing, we all have a spiritual need for healing. And the Lord has provided that. There's just countless times that I can tell you that I'm praying for Abigail. There was one time last winter when she was kind of sick again, and it was just going through the same thing. And you know, when your babies are sick, you just hate it. It's just hard. And just praying for her and asking God to heal her and to save her. And in that moment, I feel like I would say at first it occurred to me, and then I realized later it was really the Holy Spirit reminding me, like, I already have saved her. Like, I've already saved her and I've already saved you. And so that's just one of the things that Abigail, the many things that Abigail has taught me. And out of that, it just led me to start asking some questions and pursuing if this was something that we could do here. And talked to a few people, had a few meetings, a few more phone calls. They said, well, if you can put a leadership team together, you know, we would love to see what your thoughts are on this. And God has really gone before us in bringing this ministry here. I am so humbled by just all of the ways that he has brought together people and made it very clear that this is his desire for this campus and for this ministry. So with that, I just want to introduce you guys to the theme for this year. Like I said, this is, want to give lots of credit to our friends in Dallas for their just wisdom and vision and creativity and coming up with Committed to the Harvest as we parent the next generation. Our theme verse for the year is from Galatians. It's, do not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. And I love that. I love the version that they chose for this. Let's not get tired of doing what's good. I mean, the work that we do as moms, the work that we do for our children, for our family, is good work. And I want us to be encouraged that we can do it, to not get tired of it. And that at just the right time, not our timing and when we think things should happen, but in God's timing, we're going to reap a harvest of blessing, the fruits of our labor, if we don't give up. So this harvest theme, there's just countless stories in the Bible of gardening or farming. And so there's a lot of scripture that we can apply that really analogy to the work that we're doing as moms. So in just following with the wisdom of Titus 2, and moms with younger children, being taught and instructed by moms who are a little bit further along. Krista Sanders, one of our mentor moms, is going to be teaching and leading us through really the principles of being committed to the harvest. So I'm going to go ahead and invite Krista to come on up. I first met Krista in May at our very first leadership event, and if y'all don't know Krista, she just overflows with grace and sincerity and kindness, and she's also really humble, so she's just gonna, but I'm thrilled to have her here, and I know that you guys are just gonna love her.
Thank you. I'm gonna let's see how loud or how obnoxious. Is this good? Okay, y'all can hear. All right. Well, good morning. Thank you, Adrian. We are so blessed to have her leading this group of women, and she makes a mean shepherd's pie. My kids think she's the best cook in the DFW area right now, so thank you. We have been waiting for this morning for so long. I'm so glad that all of you here. I hope that you already are excited and encouraged in your role as a mom and about just this Nest ministry. We want you to leave this morning feeling very valued and loved as our moms of Watermark. And I may move over here because I can't make that one move. And I'm a creature of habit, so I kind of migrate to this side. But let me see if I can function from this side of the stage. Okay. So, as she said, I'm Krista. I'm married to Jeff for 25 years, and that's just when I say that out loud, I'm like, wow, that's really a long time. I'm mom to Julia, who's 15, and Brighton, who is 13. Just so you'll know what that's looked like over 25 years, I've worked full-time as a pharmacist, part-time, one day a week. We've homeschooled. We've done like a private university model school, and now they're in their second year of public school at Paschal and McLean. I am a housewife, homemaker, stay-at-home, whatever you want to call it. I like all of it. But my most treasured role has been being Jeff's wife and Joy and Brighton's mom. It's just a privilege, and it is just what I love to do. So before we begin, I want to get a couple things straight with you. I am in the thick of parenting with you. Yes, mine looks different than yours does right now, most likely. But I'm no way, shape, or form done. I am at it with you. I may just be a few steps down the line on the journey, but that's my big credential to be up here. It's just I'm a few steps ahead. But I just want you to know I'm a fellow parenter with you, having the same hopes and dreams for my kids that you do right now. So I'm not speaking from a place of success or attainment, but I am speaking from a place of knowing that I need God so desperately in my parenting. My flesh runs out so quickly. And there I find myself in a mess, saying stupid things in awful tones and needing of his grace again. And so that in the midst of that conviction and repentance, he picks me up and just reminds me, you're not having to do this by yourself. I am with you. I am as close to you as I can possibly get. So with that in mind, I'm not a gardener at all. I can't even keep a succulent alive. But I do love this theme for this year. My daddy had a garden for years, and I used to love to take my kids to when we go to South Georgia for them to get to be in his garden. And just a side note, if the more comfortable I get up here, if that happens this morning, you will hear that South Georgia accent, and I can't help it. But these pictures, I love these pictures of Julia. I don't know where Brighton was at the moment, but I picked pictures of just Julia in the garden with Papa. It's a happy place. And I'll never forget them just digging and pulling up. And they'd be like, Mom, it's real food, you know. And then they would get to pick beans off the vine and then to take them to Nana's kitchen and she'd make it taste really good. And they'd argue about, I picked this bean or no, that's my potato. But it's fascinating, isn't it? What happens with a seed? That little seed under the surface, a little work, a little faith of something that's going on just beneath the surface that we cannot see yet. And it becomes something wonderful. So just like a garden and just like our kids, God has a role and we have a role. And that's just what we're going to talk about this morning. So we're starting with our role. We'll look at it first. So first and foremost, we have a little handout. She did such a great little handout. And we can actually write and fill in blanks if you like to. If you don't want to fill in blanks, please don't feel pressure. But we are to sow seeds of truth. And mamas, we are sowing seeds all day long. In your communication, in your responses, in your phone calls, husband time, car time, you are always sowing seeds. And those seeds need to be evaluated and considered, but the specific seeds we're talking about this morning are seeds of truth. And we get that from one of Jesus' stories he tells in Luke, but he clearly states that the seed is the word of God. So our first scripture this morning, this is not the one she just read, but this is my first scripture this morning, Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit will reap eternal life. Scripture doesn't get much more clear than that. If we live to please our flesh, we earn disaster, destruction. If we sow to please the Spirit, if we live to please the Spirit, we're rewarded with eternal life, a continued presence with him that we have come to value and enjoy while we're on this earth. So we've got to be sowing seeds in our own hearts in order to sow in our kids' hearts. So I would really say, well, here's the ouchy question. Are we doing that? As mamas, are we taking time to sow seeds of truth in our parenting, in ourselves? Are we doing? Should I switch over? We good? So we all know that we can't grow apples with apple seeds. So the blank on your thing is only truth will give birth to truth. We must be sowing it in the lives in order to sow in our lives in order to sow it in the lives of our kids. So I would say this is really the first work of parenting. Without this, I don't know that we would have the right to do anything else. So everything we talk about here at the Nest this year is going to have two firm feet planted right here, meaning the foundation of any parenting skill that you might acquire is going to be founded in the Word of God. So let's open up our heart and our mind to the Word every day. So as gently as I can, and I want to say it with just a boatload of love and compassion, but please don't meddle in your kids' hearts until you've allowed him to meddle in yours. And it's a daily meddling. And you guys, there have been times when I have been in that tailspin of like, why can't anybody just do what I'm asking them to do? And, you know, for how long am I going to have to cut these grapes in half? And could we just get one kind word spoken in this house today? And why can't anybody see and appreciate all that I'm doing around here? You know, I'm amazed how quickly and how intensely my thinking can get skewed like that. And eventually, it could be later that day, it could be through a friend, it could be the next morning when I've opened up the word, and he changes it. He shifts your perspective back to the truth, and then I can have that peace in my mind. The chaos can be gone that's going on in my heart and my life, most likely at that point. But to have that peace come back, time in the word is time never wasted for you or for your children. So this role in parenting, this sowing of the truth, it trumps all others. This is your lifeline. This is your life. He is your lifeline. Read the word, study the word, memorize the word so you always have seeds at the ready, first for yourself and then for your kiddos. So now that we've got that out of the way, let's look at sowing the seeds of truth in their heart. So when I was little, I remember having this bout of dreams. They were just really awful dreams. And they must have been terrible for me to have walked from an upstairs bedroom down through the dark at five. We moved into that house when I was five, and they happened right then. And there were no windows or shades yet, no curtains or shades. My mama hadn't done that yet. But I would make my way to the her bedside, and I don't know how many nights had gone on at this point, but this is the night I remember her holding me in the chair by her bed, and she just said, ask God to take him away. I said, well, Mommy, what do I say? And she said, just say, God, don't let me have any more bad dreams. And that was the end of that, but it was the beginning of something else. She had planted a seed in my heart that simply regarding God and faith and prayer. And even now, I pray that simply, God, this is what I want, or this is what I need. And that was pretty easy for her, right? Except the getting up in the middle of the night, being awakened, I'm sure. But let's think about a real seed. It needs a few things, right? Light, sunlight, good soil, air, room to grow. It needs a lot of tending in the beginning because it is so tender and young. It needs protection because it's very fragile as it breaks through the surface. But it's a simple analogy to make with our kids. So in order to sow seeds of truth in our children's heart, we really do need to provide an atmosphere, an environment for sowing and planting seeds, for nurturing them. So this is not an exhaustive list, but it's a list, and it's on your handout. So the first thing that is just loads of love from your heart to theirs. Enjoy this role. Nurture and encourage those sweet kiddos. We have this in spades as mothers, and we just need to enjoy it and have fun just loving our kids. And whether we like it or not, a big chunk of this love is expressed in time, lots of time. That's your next blank. Our kids want us, especially at this young age. You are their world right now, and you need to just embrace that and love it. You have a specific platform right now because of the time that you have with them to speak and encourage them, sow truth into their life. So this is something you do intentionally, that you plan for it, and this is something that you do while you're just doing life, brushing their teeth or helping them get dressed with baths, walk, car time. And then there's just the times that you're like, what now? You know, why is this happening now? Just really inconvenient. So you've got the intentional time, the living life time, and just the inconvenient time. Another thing that's really great in this environment is really critical is gentleness and respect, especially in times of discipline and training. Gentleness and respect. If you're allowing God to meddle in your heart, you're not going to have an issue with these. So they also need pockets of peace and order, some stillness in the busyness to give these seeds time to root in their heart. Now, notice I said pockets because it's just not feasible to think you're going to have peace and order all the time. That's not real life parenting. But it is critical for you to create time and space like that for your family, for all margin of all kinds of things, but, you know, including just fun. But these postures and attitudes and environment is conducive to sowing seeds of truth in your kids. And just remembering a little sentence by Paul David Tripp, it's there: we are more like our children than unlike them. They're going to most likely thrive in the environments that we value too. So loads of love, lots of time, gentleness and respect, and peace and order. So sowing seeds of truth in your kids, this is your ministry. This is your eternal work. You're not only doing it for your children, you're doing it for another generation. And by doing this, you are shaping culture. So that's a big one. It's my favorite one. All right, our second role in this harvest is commit to the work. Despite whatever, commit to the work. I think because you're here this morning, you are showing that you're committed to your role as a mom and that you want to grow in that role. And I just want to encourage you. You are committed to something beautiful, alive, hard, rewarding. He's delighted about your decision to be a mom. Most of us know from experience that God uses this child-parent dynamic to bring about things in our lives that we would have never imagined, or much less wanted, you know, sometimes. So parenting can be really hard, and we're going to have to talk about that for a few minutes. But as we talk about the hard things, I want us to remember all the sweet, wonderful things about being a mama. So let's just keep those in mind as we talk about the hard stuff. So committed, the definition being wholeheartedly dedicated to a course of action. And a course of action it is, right? Parenting. It's a long one, and it's a growing one, and it's a rewarding one. But this commitment implies two things that none of us really like, and that's waiting and patience. Waiting for and patience regarding a harvest that we've not seen yet. And we've got to be committed to just that thing that we cannot see. So let's just establish right here that most of parenting involves these two things heavily. And I'll just encourage you, open yourself up to them. It is a fast track to frustration if you're, you know, pressing against the waiting and patience, because it's just a long haul, and us mamas are in it for the long haul. So to commit to these things, despite the heat, back to the gardening theme, despite the heat, despite the sore muscles, and regardless of the mess. So these things would be like heartache. We love them so much that we are susceptible to being hurt so much. We have to be committed despite frustrations, the repetition of everything, the refereeing, the washing of bottles, the cutting the grapes in half, the in and out of the car seats, preparing food, all of those things. We have to commit despite that kind of weariness, fear. What's this going to look like in 5 years? Impatience. I want to see results now. All of that, we have to commit to being, to commit to the whole process. So these are just some of the things that discourage us through this parenting process, and we want to be committed despite all these things. So here's the goal: being committed to sowing seeds of truth and waiting patiently on Him to do the work that only He can do in the lives of our children. So with waiting and patience in mind, our third role is to protect against weariness. And that's, you know, it's kind of hard to how do you separate weariness and parenting? It's like separating sweat from CrossFit or something. It's like, don't they go together, you know? So the word says in Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good. This is what Adrian read to us earlier. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I had to look up the definition of weary too, because I hear it used in lots of different ways. But get this. They were really great definitions. Lacking strength, energy, or freshness because of the need for rest or sleep. Bored or annoyed by something because you have seen it, heard it, done it many times or for a long time. Having one's patience, tolerance, or pleasure exhausted. I really thought I was looking it up in like a dictionary for moms or something. Like it just was lacking freshness because I need some sleep, annoyed by the repetition. I just thought it was funny. Okay, so when Julia was 15 months old, we were going to see my family in Georgia. Jeff was in Uganda for a few weeks, and she's at a delightful age, just engaging everyone, and I wasn't worried a bit. Like, we'd flown together already a couple times, and so I didn't have any concerns at all until about 10 minutes up into the air, and she started shrieking in tones and pitches that I had never heard. And I'm not kidding when I say never heard. She cried normally, you know, when she was hungry, but this was, I'd never heard anything like this before. So you can imagine there was nothing to be done for the child. I had no idea. And of course, my first thought was all the other people on the plane, because after about 30 minutes of her shrieking, they were staring holes in my head. And about 40 minutes into that, I was crying. I'm not kidding, because I felt so helpless and so frustrated. Like, I would take her into the bathroom about every 20 to 30 minutes just to give the plane a break. I mean, there was just no stopping her. So about an hour into the plane, weariness had set in, and about 2 hours into the 2.5 hour flight, her head landed right here. I don't know how, but like her head had landed in the palm of my hand, and I was so scared to move her for fear she'd wake up again. So we rode the rest of this way until everybody was off the plane. I didn't want to look anybody in the eye. I did not want to see anybody at baggage claim. So thankfully, I was weary and I needed a break. And thankfully, my parents were there to take over because I had threatened to strap her to the top of the car. But those are the kinds of things we think when we get weary. And that's awful. It is funny now, but like I was so helpless and so frustrated that I just didn't want anything to do with her for a while. But that is such an isolated incident of being weary. My pleasure was exhausted. And I needed a break. But that was just an isolated incident. And that's what the Lord in the scripture is asking us not to give in to. Don't grow in your weariness. So another area it's easy to grow weary in is when we see weeds growing beside the good things that we're trying to sow in our kids too. So the bad stuff, the weeds. How does this happen? Very simply, because their flesh is still at work in their hearts, in his or her heart. Regardless if they've asked Jesus to come in and be their Lord and Savior, to some degree, it is still at work, just like it's at work in mine and your hearts. But listen to Paul, the greatest missionary that ever lived. This is what he said about that. In Romans 7, he says, "For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this is what I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it. It is the sin in me that does it." Oh, to remember that when we are training and disciplining our children. Sin, disobedience, and rebellion is inevitable. We are sinful people parenting sinful people. To remember the quote before about Paul David Tripp, we are more like our children than we are unlike them. There is a battle going on all the time for my submission to the Lord. It's the same battle that's going on with your children, submission to you, and ultimately to him. Our flesh wants control of our soul. Their flesh wants control of theirs. And this is why we sow seeds of truth in our hearts and in their hearts. I loved what JP was saying a few weeks ago. He really wasn't talking about parenting, but he was talking about vaccinating, and I'll say our kids, vaccinating our kids with truth and grace in order to prevent heartache and pain. And if you like football talk over medical talk, we are putting in place an offense and a defense by sowing seeds of truth to make ground and to be able to defend against our flesh as we sow this truth. Okay, so the last area that we'll just touch on that can cause this weariness is regret. And if you've parented a day, you felt the regret, and you're going to feel it again and again. Remember, we're sinful parents parenting sinful children. It is a formula for regret, and that is why we need a Savior. That is why we have Jesus, the rescuer, and this is where the gospel intersects my parenting more often than anything else, is when I have some regret and I need to go and make it right. But I don't care how badly you've lost it or how many times you've lost it with your toddler. His grace is sufficient, it is enough, and it is always available. So do business with God regarding your regret, which may be asking your child to forgive you. And what a seed to sow in the heart of your kid. But then receive his abundant grace and move on. I think in our outline it says, look forward with hope, look backwards with grace. So, and here's more hope. If he's not asking us to grow weary, he's going to provide the power for you not to grow in it. And so one of my favorite verses that I find myself applying to parenting all the time is 2 Peter 1:3, and it says, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and goodness. Because we know him, because of our knowledge of him, we have access to everything we need for life and godliness. And that is whatever your life encompasses right now. And for us in this room, parenting is such a huge chunk of it. He's going to provide everything you need. His presence with us, his spirit provides the power that we need to fight weariness and to protect ourselves from it. On an airplane with a screaming baby or at the grocery store, or just going over with your toddler for the 78th time that day why it's important to obey. He will provide what you need. And practically, he's made provision for your rest. The Sabbath rest really is a thing. And I just encourage you, take a nap. Enjoy that, and you will be amazed at the goodness of his provision for you. So are you going to grow weary in parenting? Absolutely, you're going to grow weary in parenting. But the key is, you're not going to grow in it. You're not going to stay there in it. So take a breather, pray, open up the word, tell a trusted friend how you're feeling, and do whatever it takes not to let that weariness take root, steal your joy, and thwart your commitment for parenting. Again, we're in this for the long haul. So take advantage of the power and the provision that he's made for you. So we've saved the best for last, and it's God's role in this harvest and his unseen work. And just saying that he has a role just helps me breathe deeper, just to take a deep breath. He's got us, and he's got our kids. So let me just encourage you for a minute just by letting the scripture speak for itself, and that's what I'm going to do. And they're not all on there, but most of them are. Deuteronomy 7:9, let this wash over you, okay? Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. Psalm 33:4, for the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. 2 Timothy 2:13, if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. So his role, he promises to be faithful in this process. It's just who he is. He is just faithful. And because of that, we can say with the psalmist, Psalm 26:3, for I have always been mindful of your unfailing love and have lived in reliance on your faithfulness. Your blank is, we can parent in reliance on his faithfulness. Because when we don't have faith in the process of the things that we can't see, he is still faithful. I went to bed last night reminding myself of these very things. There's things that I'd like to see to be coming up from the surface in my kid's life. And I'm just right there with you waiting. I was having to remind myself of these very truths last night, but post these things up. If you're like me, I need the reminder about every 5 minutes. Okay. The last role, and the role that brings me the most comfort, is that he is ultimately in control of the harvest. Whew. Right? Just a big sigh, right? There was a Bible study back written in the 90s that I don't know how many people did it. I don't know if I can, I think I can, I know I can say thousands, but that may, I don't know. But it was Experiencing God. It was full of wonderful biblical truths that changed my life then. And so I picked it up last summer. And as a mom, just doing it, it was a lot different. It was just different to me, richer for me. And when I got to the part where Blackaby started talking about the things that only God can do, I sat up a little straighter and read a little closer, because that is where I was. I'm like, I need to know what you're going to do. So here are three of the five, and I'm going to direct them towards our kids, since that's who we're talking about this morning. But the first one: draws our children to himself. Only he can do that. Only he causes our children to seek him. And only he can reveal spiritual truth to our kids. What a comfort it is for me to know that I cannot cause my children to seek after him, nor can I make them understand or even value spiritual truth. Only God can draw them to him. And I ask him to all the time. I tell him that I am counting on him to do this part. And it comes from John 6:44. We don't have time to go into all that, but sure, I can be the parent that I feel like he's called me to be, and I can have this environment. He may choose to use it, but only he can do this work of the heart, and I'm waiting on him to do that. But Paul reminds us in his letter to one of the early churches in Corinth, and he says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. So we mothers get this privilege to get to sow seeds of truth in our kids' lives, tending these seeds and watering them. The doing our part is really not a trouble for us moms. We like to do with the best of them, right? But what our strong suit is not is waiting and trusting him to do his part. That's the hard part for me. Is he going to come through? Is he really going to do what he said he was going to do? And we answer that question kind of depending on the kind of day it's been, how obedient our kids have been, what time of the month it is. But that is why we're asking, encouraging you to drive that stake. I'm reminding myself to drive that stake down of commitment. Like, I'm with this to the end. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to throw in the white towel, because you will feel like it. But it is so worth it and so rewarding to, let's just make it together to the end, right? So take that pressure off your back. Take that pressure off your back and just remember that he promises to be faithful in the process. So to wrap this up, I've journaled for years. And so as I was looking to get back involved with moms of younger children, I was reading, because I was like, I wonder, I just want to make sure I remember what it felt like, because I knew I'd written all kinds of law. And I found this one, though, that was about sowing and planting, and I'm sure I had just heard a talk or something on it. So from 10 years ago, here it is. Since my kids are young, 6 and 4, I feel like I have plenty of time to plant and sow seeds. But do I? When will someone else's seeds mean more to them than mine? Will there ever be a time when what I had planted be choked out by something else? And how long will the Lord leave me here to do this planting? Too often I think I'm clueless that I have even missed a time where I could have planted a fruitful seed in their tender heart. So, therefore, my new prayer is that I would recognize and welcome these times, convenient or downright inconvenient, sow the truth, and pray that God will cause the seeds to grow into something strong and beautiful. And so guess what? My friends, 10 years later, I am still waiting. I'm still waiting, just like you, to see this fruit, to see these seeds grow. So with me, would you commit to sowing seeds of truth in your own life and then in the life of your kids? Would you commit to not growing in weariness as we wait for that we can't see yet? Together, let's choose to rest in the power and provision that he's provided, knowing that he's got this. He is faithful to the end through the whole process, doing the things that only he can do. He will bring about a harvest that's for his good and our for his glory and our good. And maybe the most humbling part is that he lets you and I get to be a part of that. So, all right, let's pray. Lord, we're so grateful to know the things. I'm grateful right now that for the things that only you can do. What pressure that takes off my mind and heart. And so we're just thankful for your sovereignty. We're thankful for your goodness, that you know our kids and love our kids more than we can even imagine. And so, God, we're going to trust in your goodness no matter what, even when your good does not look good to us. Help us to see. Help us to understand. Help us to trust who you are and what you're doing and not get caught up in the wondering when we don't understand. Lord, we submit our hearts and our desires and our dreams for our kids to you, and we trust you with the harvest, and we're just grateful for the provisions that you've made for us, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.